Good morning, Your Honors. Excuse me.
If you need to bring water with you.
No, I'm fine, thank you. Penny Fields for the appellants. I hope to reserve 3 minutes for rebuttal. The narrow question before the court is whether RCW 6644-270 is a prohibitory law that can be assimilated into the ACA or a regulatory law that cannot. And the universe of cases that give guidance on this question is quite small. Two decisions of this court, U.S. v. Marcias and U.S. v. Clark, and the Supreme Court's opinion in Cabazon. And really, the signposts that are there to guide us toward either a regulatory outcome or a prohibitory outcome are helping us to determine whether Congress really intended this statute to be assimilated. And ultimately, the question here is whether the law is more like the gambling prohibition or the bingo prohibition in Cabazon or the fireworks prohibition in Marcias. And I'd like to start with Marcias briefly.
Or the practice of law prohibition in Clark.
And I'm going to talk about that as well. And I'd like to actually contrast that law in Clark to the Marcias case. In Marcias, what was key to this court was that the entire overarching scheme prohibited the possession of dangerous fireworks, with a couple of narrow exceptions within the scheme itself. In Clark, of course, this court said you can have a regulatory scheme and you can still pull out a specific penal provision or prohibitory provision and assimilate it. But in Clark, you had a prohibition on the unauthorized practice of law, which was flatly prohibited. It offered no exceptions whatsoever. And here in Marcias, you have a scheme which has a couple of exceptions but is overall prohibitory. In Clark, you have a provision that is prohibitory with no exceptions. Contrasted with our law here in Washington, you have a scheme which is not overall prohibitory. It regulates activity which is generally permissible and very widespread.
But it's a blanket prohibition against sale to minors, which is a clear-cut public safety issue.
Yes, Judge Fischer, that's in the specific provision. That's focusing on the specific provision.
I understand that, but the nature of the law is itself plainly prohibitory and blanket.
Yeah, well, it's not.
No exceptions to that.
Actually, the specific provision does have a number of exceptions, three, I believe, to the provision of alcohol for minors. And I think that distinguishes it from the provision at issue in Clark. In Washington, there's an exemption for a provision of alcohol to minors by parents for medicinal uses and religious ceremonies, I believe. So they're limited, but there are some exceptions. In Clark, there is absolutely no exception to the unauthorized practice of law prohibition. And what I think is also interesting is in this distinction between prohibitory and regulatory is the overarching federal concern that regulatory law not be assimilated because it would not allow a state to just say, look, we're regulating or we're trying to protect the general health and of the population, so we're going to penalize this conduct, and then they can just impose their regulatory laws on federal enclaves. So
let's bring this down to the specific. I understand we have to look at the general overall, but what you're postulating is that federal military reservations, Fort Lewis, McCord, with young service people who are underage, who if they go off base would not be able to buy alcohol and consume it, can go on base, buy and consume alcohol, can buy and go off base and enter into the general population and be underage drivers on the streets and highways. That's what the effect of your argument is it not?
No, Your Honor. First, I would like to separate out the issue of driving or drunk driving, which is sort of obviously a public safety specter. Congress has incorporated all driving statutes, including DUI law, by CFR onto the federal enclaves, onto military bases. Moreover, I think the interesting thing is what Congress here has...
What do you mean they've incorporated it?
Well, they've applied by CFR. They've basically said that all that state's driving scheme, driving law scheme, which includes all the regulations of licensing, speeding, driving under the influence, et cetera, apply in the federal enclaves.
It does. This is what I'd like to know. Is what is the consequence of the fact that there is actually a federal statute that says the secretary shall establish and enforce as the minimum drinking age in a military installation the age established by the state, and then there's a CFR that says the minimum age for purchasing, selling alcohol, et cetera, on Air Force bases must be consistent with the law of the state. So there doesn't seem – so you're separating out the question of whether there is a criminal violation, but as to whether the – what law applies, we know what law applies as a matter of federal specific law, not under the ACA. Is that not right?
Well, I think the distinction I'm making is whether the law is prohibitory, which
no,
is...
No, but what I'm asking you is, the drinking age on military bases, as a matter of federal law, not under the ACA, is the minimum age from of the state.
With exceptions.
With exceptions. Okay.
Yes, and that, I think, is an important distinction. Because in that same statute that I think you're referring to, Judge Berzon, the Congress has reserved to itself a great deal of power to regulate alcohol controls and alcohol use and the drinking age, et cetera. But at the same time, Congress has invested that on military bases specifically, that power into base commanders, the Secretary of Defense, who's given base commanders, like here, the authority to promulgate all manner of rules, all the regulatory rules, but at the same time to suspend the very drinking age regulations that you're talking about at their discretion in some situations, which indicates that Congress has kept some control over this issue and has not given that power out to the states to apply their law there. And in fact, if you assimilate, arguably, if you assimilated this prohibition on providing alcohol to minors, that would rob the base commanders of any ability to make that discretionary call, which Congress has clearly given them the power to do. And I think that's a big contrast between what happened in Marcius and what happened in Clark. There's no reservation of federal power. There's no ability to sort of tinker with the idea that you have to have a license to practice law. There was no reservation of federal power to the Indian reservation to decide, well, in some circumstances we're going to allow the possession of dangerous fireworks. There simply was no federal reservation of power, no federal exceptions, as there are here. I think that's really important, and because the overarching federal concern is what matters in determining whether a law is prohibitory and can be assimilated or regulatory and may not be assimilated.
So is the net result of what you're saying that there is no way to prosecute people on bases? Well, I gather you may be able to prosecute military people who sell to underage people, but not on military people at all.
Well, there actually, and that sort of speaks to the gap-filling purpose of the ACA and whether you can fill in where Congress hasn't spoken with criminal law. But the answer is no, that because Congress has a number of other tools. First of all, through these regulations that base commanders promulgate, they can certainly regulate all their employees. There's also a statute, 50 App USC 473, which I apologize, this was not cited in the brief, where the Secretary of Defense has the authority to make regulations which have the force of criminal law governing the sale provision and trafficking in alcohol between military people, either by military people or to military people. So that
it has the force of military of criminal law, meaning it's a federal crime or what?
It would be a misdemeanor.
A federal misdemeanor.
Yes, apparently.
So just so I understand, if a civilian, if you have a enlisted personnel as a bartender and a civilian bartender, civilian employee bartender, same bar, one sells to both sell to minors. What's the liability for each of them?
Well, if they promulgated regulations under the statute I just mentioned,
mm-hmm.
I believe it would depend on whether the civilian sold to a minor service member, and I think it would the military person.
Let's assume they sold to a military person.
They would both be equally liable. If
liable under what law?
Under the regulations
the federal law.
That would be promulgated.
So your clients could have been subjected to liability for illegal underage sales at McCord if a regulation had been passed saying that you cannot do that on military reservation?
Presumably. And that's just like the situation in Carlson, this court's decision, where this court said that the driving provision couldn't be enforced under the ACA, but it could have been enforced under the CFR that had been put in place, applying it to the military base there. And finally, if Congress is also always free, given how it's expressed this intent to hold on to so much power on regulation of alcohol use, to promulgate a CFR just as it did with the driving regulations and apply all of these statutes to federal enclaves if that's what it intended to do.
Well, it did do that. It did apply all the statutes to federal enclaves, but it didn't. You're saying that what it didn't do was make it criminal.
I'm sorry, Your Honor.
It did apply the substantive rule to all the federal to all the military bases.
Under the ACA.
No, under the statute that I read you before that says that on military bases they...
Right.
Right. So it did substantively do that.
But at the same time reserving the power to make exceptions and sort of tinker with the prohibitions there, giving base commanders that power, discretionary power, which would be taken away in this statute.
We got it. You're over time, and I'm going to give you a minute for a rebuttal, so rather than... have you run on? I'm going to want to hear from the government.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Would you address first?
Well, let's let him announce who he is.
Thank you, Your Honor. If it may please the court, Arvind Swaminathan for the United States government.
All right. Would you address first this issue Ms. Field raised about the Secretary of Defense has the authority by regulation to criminalize, at least in a misdemeanor sense, the conduct of civilian employees on the military base? Right. You agree with that?
I'm aware of that, Your Honor. Here's what the import of that is. It really has no import. Because in Sousa, what this court says was that the issue was whether any enactment of Congress, any federal regulation or statute, essentially punishes that same conduct. This is not a case where that's true. While Congress may have the ability to promulgate CFRs, while base commanders may have the ability to promulgate regulations, that's not what that was the case in this instance. So that Congress has may or may not have reserved power to do something is irrelevant in this case. What we have to look at for the first part of the inquiry in determining whether or not the ACA is applicable is to look at whether there's a federal regulation or a congressional statute that punishes the conduct at issue.
So you're saying this reserved power is really irrelevant to what's proper under the ACA, right?
If
the power hasn't been exercised.
That's correct, Your Honor.
What about the exception issue? The regulations do, in fact, have two exceptions. One is that the minimum drinking age can be lowered to match that of the neighboring state, and the other is that for a unique or non-routine military occasion, I assume that means victory in Europe or something, you could have the minimum drinking age for a particular unit can be lowered. So if that happens, then what happens? In other words, I assume nobody can be convicted under a state law where those rules are in effect for selling underage. So doesn't that throw a big hole in the applicability of the state law?
Well, Your Honor, those two exceptions, as I read them, apply to military personnel. They don't apply to civilians selling or furnishing alcohol to minors. And so there really isn't that situation.
That wouldn't make any sense because what it says is that the minimum base drinking age may be lowered. So you mean to say that if the minimum base drinking age has been lowered, that if you have a military person selling it, they can sell to, in accord with the military, with the minimum base drinking age, but civilian people on the same base can't abide by that rule?
Well, Your Honor, that's how I would read it, and that's how I would read it is that military personnel could do that, but it would not undermine the application of the Washington statute. Even if it did, Your Honor, even if it did apply to civilians and military personnel equally, and they wouldn't be able to prosecute, that would be an instance where the conduct that is prohibited issue would be dealing with exception upon exception, essentially, and that would be an instance where a regulation applied, but that's not a congressional regulation that would address the conduct at issue. It's a base regulation that's promulgated. It's not a CFR, and it's not anything passed by Congress. So in that instance, we really wouldn't have a situation where the ACA would not allow the state law to apply. I seem to have confused Your Honor.
It's just an extremely difficult thing to understand how you can have a criminal law that makes something criminal for a civilian on the base, even though the minimum base drinking age on that base is lower. It's what she's doing. I understand it's hypothetical. It doesn't seem to apply to this, but it seems to be relevant to whether this is really prohibitory.
I don't think it's relevant to whether or not this is prohibitory, because I think the inquiry in determining whether or not a law is prohibitory or regulatory is outlined in Marcy's and Clark, which is what Judge Fischer said at the beginning of the arguments, which is, shouldn't we look at, and the court should, look at A, whether the statute in question prohibits conduct and whether it does so to promote a public good. In the instance of this statute, this Washington statute that prevents or prohibits the furnishing of alcohol to minors, that is a prohibitory statute in nature, and its intent is to promote the public welfare. That's what the Supreme Court said in Schooley, was that it's to protect minors from basically the ills of themselves, because they can't drink responsibly, to protect their health and safety, and it's to protect the public from the particular hazards that arise when minors are given alcohol. So in that sense, Your Honor, that's the inquiry that determines whether this statute is prohibitory or regulatory, and it answers the question whether or not it can be assimilated under the Assimilated Crimes Act. Defense counsel made a point that I want to just...
Just one more question. In Clark, there was no parallel to the override authority that exists on the military base. In other words, there was nothing in Clark that indicated that... was that a military base in Clark? I don't remember.
Yes, Your Honor.
That the base authorities could say, oh, all right, on our base, it's okay to practice law without a license, right?
Candidly, Your Honor, I don't know the answer to that. I don't know what the military regulations on the base were and whether or not someone could or could not practice without a license under certain exceptions. I just don't know the answer to that, Your Honor. Defense counsel raised a distinction between Clark and Marseilles, and the one thing I do want to point out is Marseilles is really on point in this case, in the sense that even though there are exceptions to the Washington state law, those exceptions in Marseilles Even though there are exceptions in this case under the Washington state law, that's the same kind of framework that we had in Marseilles, that essentially a prohibitory statute can have exceptions and still be prohibitory. So when the court looks at what the most analogous case is to the statutory framework we have here, the court should look to Marcy's first, because that is a statute that prohibited conduct with exceptions, which is similar to what we have here. So for those reasons, Your Honor, because the inquiry begins and ends with what Clark and Marcy said, the intent of the statute and whether or not it's promoting a public good, we would advise the court that it should affirm the district court's order and affirm the convictions of both the defendants.
Can I ask you a question to follow up on what I asked Ms. Fields? The hypothetical where you have, under her theory, she said you have the authority, the military has the authority to control this by if you have the civilian and the enlisted bartenders side by side, both selling to military personnel, that that can be addressed under the authority of the regulatory power. Is that correct?
I'm not sure, Your Honor. I understood exactly what the hypothetical was.
The hypothetical is just you got two bartenders working the bar, and you got a 17-and-a-half-year-old buck private coming in, or whatever they are, enlisted. When I was in the Army, it was buck private, you know, EM3s or whatever. They're selling to underage kids who, you know, as I understand it, the military can punish the military bartenders, and she said that, as I understand it, that you can punish the civilian bartender as well, but you have to adopt regulations to do that. Is that correct?
I think that's correct, Your Honor. I think that's correct, but I think the point of the Washington law is, and the underlying purpose of the ACA, is to bring consistency of approach to that, which is to be able to apply the same criminal provisions to both the military bartender as well as the civilian bartender.
So that the state law purposes of, say, public safety can be not left to the discretion of the base commander?
That's correct, because Congress, in passing the ACA, recognized that there is a driving interest and an important interest in making sure that a state's laws are applied uniformly to all of its citizens. And it does that to avoid creating the very loophole that Your Honor describes, as well as having non-military personnel who may be on a military base and obtaining alcohol.
This is somewhat outside the scope of the limits of this case, but could you, if it were a military person doing it, could you apply the state law, or could you only apply the uniform military code?
My understanding is that you could apply the state law.
Or
the military law. That's my understanding, Your Honor. That there would be discretion in that at that point as to whether or not to prosecute that person or to treat them under the regulations.
But you certainly couldn't, if one of the exceptions on the base were in effect, prosecute a military person for doing it.
Prosecute them because they are complying with the exception under the regulation, but also committing a crime under Washington state law. Your Honor, I don't know the answer to that question. It's not one that we addressed in this issue because it wasn't at the forefront. It wasn't one of the issues raised by this case, and so we haven't addressed that. And I don't know the answer to that, Your Honor.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Ms. Fields, I said I'd give you a minute.
Your Honor, I just want to address the point that reservation of power by the federal government is relevant here because it's evident of whether assimilation here fulfills the ACA's intent, gap filling and uniformity. Uniformity is defeated by assimilation here as long as Congress has reserved the power to give discretion that we talked about to base commanders. Moreover, looking just at the state statute, I think this Court's jurisprudence has made clear that just because a provision is prohibitory or even penal and the stated purpose is promoting the general health and welfare, that is not enough to require assimilation. A much broader analysis is required to protect the federal concern. And just looking at the Washington law really quickly, in the same title in another chapter, 6628230, under the heading of miscellaneous regulatory provisions, there is a prohibition, a provision that prohibits giving kegs to minors, and it incorporates the same exceptions as our provision that's at issue here, and it provides the same penalties. So that, to me, is further evidence of its regulatory nature, as is Congress' reservation of power here.
So giving what to minors?
I'm sorry?
Giving what to minors?
Kegs, beer.
K-E-G.
Kegs with
Keggers.
Beer in them.
Yeah. Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you, and you're pro bono, I understand. Well, the court always appreciates our pro bono counsel, so thank you. It's an interesting case, so thank you both. Case is submitted.